Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Business Story of the Week. I am your co-host, Joshua. And today, like we always do, we unravel stories of perseverance. We unravel stories of struggle and succeeding through those struggles. And we also unravel the things that hold us back, you know, the things that we tell ourselves, the lies we tell ourselves. And we could not ask for a better guest today to guide us through that right now. Because the question really is, what if you're not who you think you are? What if the thing that you've dragged around your whole life, the video that plays over and over in your head saying you're not enough, what was that? What if that was a lie? Who would you be? Who could you be if we shed all of those lies away? Sharon Hughes is a deeply passionate, leader right now who loves empowering individuals to overcome challenges and embrace their true self-worth. Her journey of personal triumph and spiritual growth has fueled her commitment to guiding others through life's adversaries, providing women with tools to uncover and challenge the lies of the enemy and discover how loved and valuable they are. Sharon, thank you so much for being here on the show today. How are you doing?
Good morning, Joshua. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Sharon, it is a good morning having you here on the show as well. I would love to start this off, before we really get into this, but this question is really kind of already getting into it, but I always like to start these episodes and with these guests. I like to start from the very beginning. I always like to start, what is the story of Sharon Hughes? Was there anything early on in your life that were particularly pivotal moments and pivotal experiences that has led you to here today, to empowering women, empowering individuals, empowering them with faith-based confidence, and to you being a confidence coach right now, a self-worth expert right now? But what are the things that happened throughout your life that has led you here today? Tell us the story of Sharon Hughes.
Oh, gosh, that is such a long story, Joshua.
Please. We love stories in this show.
I know. We all love stories. Well, my story probably started off normal, parents and a family. And then everything went sideways with my father being a high functioning alcoholic, a rather narcissistic man, very abusive, and, parents getting divorced. But in the mix of all of that, being, shuffled around, falling victim to a lot of abuse, different types of abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, which, that's nothing shocking in today's culture. We're all so aware, especially through social media, of what is going on and how the world is just not what it used to be. I feel like in the 50s, there were sweeter days, but I wasn't alive then. So maybe it was just my childhood growing up watching Happy Days. You're probably too young to know that.
I haven't seen it, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, that just seemed like normal American life, if you will. But, and it's kind of funny is when you grow up with a lot of trauma and a lot of abuse, you kind of think that it is normal because you're a kid and that's all you know. So that's kind of like your starting point. You're just like, well, isn't everybody like this? So I didn't know until much later, but there was several people that had abused me. And really what happened was I didn't tell. So I think my earliest memories are like 5, but I didn't tell. And everything just kind of led up to a particular night when I was 16. and I went to a Halloween party, and I was actually drugged at the party, and I woke up in a garage at another location. And that was really a pivotal night for me, because all the things that had already happened to me, I had really shoved them down and somehow was managing just to keep coping without getting any help. But that was the night that changed everything and really set me on a trajectory of deep brokenness, but at the same time, deep hope. Yeah. And that is like probably polar opposites.
It is. It is. I mean, when it comes to what you've experienced, especially waking up in such an unknown place in such horrible circumstances, how do you even find hope in situations yeah. like that? It must feel it's a very hopeless situation. And it is also a natural reaction to people to feel hopeless. But I really want to paint a picture of your journey here, Sharon, because it's not just about that one pivotal moment, right? It was a series of really bad experiences, but you've continuously overcome them. Talk to us a little bit about healing from those challenges, healing from those very, very deep moments, and digging in yourself and finding that deep hope that you mentioned.
I think as a child, I certainly didn't understand that aspect, and my upbringing was really odd. Maybe it's not. Maybe this will resonate with your audience. Being around people that profess to have faith, even going to church, but behind closed doors, it was anything but a person walking in faith. So I had this mixed message, and I really believed that, you know, God was a mean God waiting for me to make a mistake so he could punish me, because that's who my father was. So I was very afraid of God, but always thought, and because I have always been faith-based, I thought, well, I like Jesus because Jesus died for me. So he's probably nicer than God. So that was my childhood understanding. Wow. And, you know, I just kept pressing forward, and there really isn't an explanation for how I did this, except that it has to have been divine healing. Wow. Because there was a lot of devastation. I don't want to trigger your audience, but as an adult and looking back after much research, I can see that there were several people in my life that were grooming me. And we know what that means. So I hate to spell it out on a podcast, because sometimes people are listening with the child in the car or something like that. So I want to be careful of that. So there just really wasn't any explanation for how I kept moving forward. But somehow, deep inside of me, I did have faith. I kept thinking, you know, somehow God's going to get me through this. You know, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So fast forward, I had a lot of successes, if you will, in business. And, you know, just in anybody would have looked at that and said, oh, you're successful. But it was never enough. And one day I had closed my international wholesale business, and I was going through a divorce at the time. And I woke up one morning, was praying, and I just said, God, I'm not going to make it. I can't do this. So that was really the point. And I was in my 40s. So it was decades of holding it together.
Wow.
And then there I was in my 40s, just saying, I cannot do this. I'm not going to make it. I was contemplating suicide. And I literally heard God's voice say, what do you believe about yourself? And that was, that's like the clouds part and the sun breaks through. It's like the aha moment. And I was like, nobody's ever asked me that. I've been in some counseling, but nobody had ever said, what are you believing about yourself? And I said, oh my gosh, God, you know everything that I think. You know everything. You already know.
Wow.
And he said, is it true?
Is it true?
Yeah.
Is it true? And that is a question that I believe we are all struggling to not only ask ourselves, but to also answer, you know? And I guess it's such a profound moment for you, because once again, you said that you yourself, no one has ever asked you that. And mm-hmm. We never get to even contemplate on that. What is it that you believe in yourself? What is it that you see in yourself? And that question alone is healing, right? That question alone is like, will you go through all these memories and all these experiences? And then you ask yourself, what does this all mean? Because of that mm-hmm. question alone, because that leads to unraveling everything. And that's terrifying. That's very terrifying. Sharon, I do want to, again, go back to I want to paint a picture to our listeners or audiences, how much you've really done to overcome your past and your experiences and your struggles. Early on your YouTube channel, you have a series called Launch Your Creativity Series.
You did your homework.
I always do, Sharon. And I this is because I want to make sure our audience and listeners connect with you, and I also want to connect with the guests as well. You had Truth Over Tea, and one of your episodes, you said it's your turn to heal. And there you introduced to your audiences, you said 5 things that are healing to yourself. And again, it's a great series, but what I want our audience and listeners to know, this was what, like 11 years ago?
Oh my gosh, it is, at least.
It was a long time ago. So I want to paint this picture to our audience and listeners that you have been doing so many things, continuing to overcome all these experiences. And is there anything, that any particular difference that you could share to our audiences and listeners, that it seems that it was a practice of multiple things all at the same time? Was there any moments that you fell off? Was there any moments that you had to pick yourself back again? But for our audience and listeners, what were the differences that you see, how you practice your healing, from mm-hmm. before to today?
Yeah, well, that's an amazing question. And thank you for doing your homework. I was just talking to one of the girls that owned that tea room the other day. And I was like, remember when we did
beautiful tea room? My sister saw it and she was like, oh, beautiful background. She was like,
gorgeous.
Beautiful background. I invite the audience to go check that out after this episode, of course. But talk to us a bit about that. It's beautiful.
So I think when we started doing that, I was really looking for a way to reach out to women and to encourage them. At the same time, I was holding entrepreneurial events in that tea room. That tea room is called Paris in a Cup, and it recently closed, which I'm so sad about. But I think for probably 8-9 years, I was holding these entrepreneurial events. And it was really part of my journey, because right around the time when I had that breakdown and I was saying, God, I'm not going to make it, I was really chasing God. I was like, there's got to be more. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was really going hard in personal development. So I spent all of my free time and a lot of late nights just reading and praying. And I just was going really hard at just saying, what is my calling and my purpose? Because I had done a lot of things. I was a swimwear model, if you can believe that. And then I had my wholesale business where I sold home decor to stores and, a lot of successes. But it was never enough. It was never the thing. And what I started to realize right around that time of the big meltdown, I was going into corporate training, and I started to realize there's a really big difference between confidence and self-worth. So I was given free creative rein at the company I was working at to do any kind of training and development. They said, just whatever will help the company get better. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to go on personal development, because I have this theory that if you don't work on yourself personally, all that messy part of you is going to bleed into your career. So this is what will make sense for your business community. Mm-hmm. Because if you have all the letters behind your name for your career, that's not necessarily going to bleed back into you personally.
Yes.
You having a degree does not mean that you have healthy relationships. It doesn't mean that you have confidence or self-worth. No. You might be confident in your skill set, which is what I teach about confidence, is basically it's a skill set that you need to hone. Having confidence is something completely different.
Yes.
So when we were doing those truth over tea videos, I was just really testing things. I thought, you know, I need to communicate this on a bigger scale. And I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I don't know. In 2013, were people podcasting? I'm not really even sure. I know I wasn't.
Well, now it's gotten blown up, right? Like it's a whole podcast. Everyone is doing a podcast right now. And it's because of the shift of the new normal, right? But it's perfect because you mentioned that, because I think your message is perfect for podcasts and the way the format goes. And I love having you right now as a guest on the show, because it's great, because now we can start talking about, you said like confidence is a skill set, and you know, it's self-worth and confidence are two different things. And I watched one of your episodes with Kudanya Ajay, which was very recent. I think that was last year. You said nervous on stage. That's not a lack of self-confidence. That's very natural. Those things, right? And again, I'm trying to paint a picture with our audience and listeners of the journey that you've gone through from your from your truth over tea to now you have your own podcast titled Call to Confidence. And talk to us a little bit about that. One of your titles is Confidence Coach. And you did mention that it is a skill set and it's different from self-worth. How do you differentiate both? How do you teach that? And what are the differences you've seen in people's lives when they've come into their own confidence?
Yeah. So everybody knows the person that's the great cook, you know, and that person that's the great cook is probably very confident in her skill set. Just like this morning, you got up and you set up your equipment to record your podcast. You're very confident in your recording, in your interviewing, and that skill set. So when people say, oh, I don't have confidence, it's like, no, it's not that you don't have confidence. You just haven't developed your skills to do the task that you want to do, whether it's cooking or it's understanding Excel spreadsheets, whatever it is. Self-worth is a whole different game. Self-worth is, what do I believe about myself? Do I deserve this? Do I deserve the C-suite? Because there's a lot of people, I mean, let's take it back. Let's take it back a little bit to my story. So all the brokenness, a parental abduction, you know, just abuse, abandonment, all the crazy things that happened to me. Okay, if I never get healed from that, it's going to show up in different triggering moments in the business world. Like there's just going to be somebody that comes in the office and maybe they say something or whatever. You get triggered when you... Triggers basically mean there's something in you that needs to be dealt with. It's not a bad thing. It's like it's if you want to say it's your inner voice, or you want to say it's God is telling you, hey, there's something here you need to deal with.
Yes.
So what's happening now in business leadership is you got a lot of people that have wounds. They just need to deal with their stuff so they can be more effective. It doesn't mean that they're a bad leader. So many leaders are running around thinking, oh my gosh, if you only knew that when I leave the office every night, I go home to an empty house because my wife left me. Like nobody would understand that. You know, there's like a shame component there because so there's an area of their life that's got problems. Well, newsflash, we all have problems. It's just how we choose to deal with them.
Of course, of course.
So that's... Yeah. So the person that goes home to an empty house, they might be thinking, you know, taking it very personally. Well, I wasn't a good spouse. I don't deserve a spouse. I don't deserve to be loved. And a lot of times you can go back to, okay, what happened in your past that took root to tell you that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not loved.
Yes.
So the messaging that I had, because the night that I finally came home after being drugged and waking up in the garage, I got home at 4 in the morning. I was 16 and my parents were not up waiting. So I'm a parent, I've got three adult kids, and you just think, who does that? Like, so when I got there, the front door was locked and the light was off, and I was so devastated. So I had to, you know, wake my parents up, and my mom opened the door, and she just looked at me. She didn't say, you know, what happened to you? Where have you been? I've been worried. Nothing.
Oh my goodness.
So that's why it was so pivotal that this message to me was that nobody cared. I mean, and that's a whole different message than what had actually
yes.
just happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that the people that should be taking care of me,
mm-hmm.
or the parents that should have taken care of whoever I'm talking to in your audience,
mm-hmm.
Whoever should have taken care of you did it.
Yeah.
And you were devastated and heartbroken.
Wow.
So it's now it's the moving forward. It's, I mean, one of the biggest things is we need to forgive people. We're
That is
not
true.
Saying that what they did isn't valid, but mm-hmm. I got a lot of breakthrough when I started forgiving people mm-hmm. and deciding, you know, what is true about me? Am I believing lies?
Exactly.
So applying this even into the business world where you're leading a team, whatever lens you have is the lens you have. So if you feel like everybody's out to get you and this and that, then that's how you're going to lead a team. You're not going to
yes.
trust your team.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We can go deep on that.
Of course. I mean, first of all, like you said, like healing, breakthrough through forgiving
yeah.
others, and these breakthroughs and healings and forgiving others, this closure sort of, it doesn't even
yeah.
have to be like meeting the person, talking to the person, like telling them this is, it doesn't always have to be like that, right? But it
right.
also begins with like you, again, telling yourself, like stop telling yourself the lies because of
mm-hmm.
making a decision because of what happened to you in the past. Like this happened to you in the past, I'm like, I'm invaluable because, you know, someone just saw like, you know, I was, you know, I was vulnerable. Someone saw me as less, you know, and they took advantage of that. And those things we decide for ourselves because of these bad experiences. And when we stop making those decisions, only can we begin to heal and find that confidence and that self-worth in ourselves. And that is your book. That is your book,
mm-hmm.
Sherry, and your book, The Girl in the Garage. But it's not just about that girl in the garage. It's
yeah.
the three steps that you do, the three steps to letting go of your past. And of
yeah.
course, it's, you know, it's recognized for its transformative impact. What are the key insights or lessons that you hope readers can take away from reading this book?
Well, the key insight, it really goes into your identity. Because
mm-hmm.
I believe that we were all created in the image of God for a purpose.
Yes.
And your purpose is not to be devastated. It's not to be broken. It's not to be wrecked and ruined.
It's I love
like
that.
every, oh, thank you. Every human being has value.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the world and I just kind of marvel. I'm like, how did I wake up to a world one day that all of a sudden just thinks that humans are disposable?
Oh.
Like it just shocks me. And so
it's true. It's heartbreaking.
Right? It
It's
is. And
heartbreaking.
Everywhere we go, there are people that are hurting and
Mm-hmm.
you don't know their story. So where my office is, it's kind of a bad area. There's a lot of people on the street doing drugs. And I see, you know, young kids, teenagers. And every time I see them, I think that's somebody's son or that's somebody's daughter. Like what
mm-hmm.
happened to them that they're hurting so bad that they turn to drugs to stop the bleeding in their heart? Because basically
Wow.
any addiction that people turn to, it's to stop some kind of a
Some
hurt
pain,
in some manner.
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's shopping, it's drugs, it's porn, it's food,
Yeah.
you know,
Mm-hmm.
it's all to stop the pain. The problem
Yes.
is it, you know, it doesn't
Yes.
stop it. It's so momentary.
And self-destructive in the process as well, as you try to
Yeah.
stave off this pain with momentary gratification and actually causing yourself more of that damage because you don't get to confront this pain. You don't want to confront it and
yeah.
you don't want to make sense of it. Now that you are where you're at, right? Like, one of the things that you said, believing in lies is just as powerful as believing in truth, right? That concept that you've highlighted, could you elaborate a bit more? Because this is the center of our conversation so far, right? How this belief system influences our self-worth and overall well-being. We're starting to touch up on that now. What strategies or practices or recommendations do you help when you see someone like individuals shift from a negative perspective, right? Like self-perceptions, a negative self-worth, and to embracing their true value and their true confidence. What were the things like, how do I catch myself? And how? What are the things that you would advise others basically when it comes to believing their own truth?
Yeah. Well, I think you need to get down to the foundation and spend some time journaling and be really honest with yourself and say, what is it that I believe about myself? And one of my favorite stories was when I was in corporate training and I had just really received that, you know, I call it a download from God, where he asked me that. I thought, well, I'm going to take this into training and test it. So I asked the whole group, and there was about 25 people sitting there. I said, what is the thing that you've been dragging around that somebody said about you? Maybe it's the coach that said you're not good enough, you know, you'll never make the team, or it's the teacher that said you're stupid. When, you know, all these things, they're super devastating. Maybe it's the person that walked out on you and said they didn't love you anymore. I said, don't tell me what it is. Just hold on to what that thing is. And I did a teaching and I came to the end and I said, okay, remember what that thing is. What if it's not true?
That's true. Yes, yes.
And I said, who would you be? And a girl in the front row just blurted out, free. And I was so surprised. I wasn't really prepared for anybody to answer. And so she talked to me afterwards and she said, oh my gosh, you know, I've really got a breakthrough from this. And she was going to go home and talk to her 9-year-old daughter and apologize to her. And I thought, wow, okay. And this was a gal that I knew she'd had a tough upbringing. I knew a little bit about her, but I was really, really surprised. So I got the opportunity to do the same training again with another group of people. When I got to that part of saying, you know, what if this isn't true? Who would you be? One girl started crying so hard she had to leave the room. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to get fired. You can't make people cry in corporate training.
But it's a breakthrough.
Right? It was such a breakthrough. But another guy came up to me and he was probably in his late 30s. And he said, I haven't spoken to my family in 10 years and I'm going to call them tonight. He didn't tell me what was going on, but I thought, this is big. This is one of the keys to unlock the hurt and the heartbreak and the lies so that we can get through to the truth. So that's really step one, is, you know, figuring out what is it that you believe. And then you've got to also embrace the idea that you have the power to choose. Yes. Some people like being broken. It's it becomes their identity, and it's very scary to let go of that.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
You probably know somebody that is like that. I'm sure your listeners do.
It's much easier too. It's much easier as well to be like, this is who I'm meant to be. This is who I just, you know, I'm just a broken person. That's just how it is. Yeah. And our culture has come to the point of romanticizing this concept of being a broken person, and that a brokenness is attractive. I love how you said that you're not meant to wallow. You're not meant to be sad. Yeah. You're not meant to bring all these baggages to you, but you're also giving us these very specific steps into getting out of that lies. And it means to, like, whatever it is that you're dragging, you need to drag it out and figure out what are these lies so that you can break free from them. I love it. I love that you're painting this clear picture for us. You've painted your journey for us, and now you're telling us these stories and these lessons. Sharon, I would love to keep you around. You know this. I'm very enjoying your talk very much and the stories that you've given so far. But before we wrap this up, and before I really start kind of putting this all together, I use this question to kind of like how you say this, tie it up in a ribbon, so to speak.
Yeah.
What does the future look like for the confidence of individuals at large in general? And where do you see yourself playing a role into all of this? What are the future aspirations of Sharon Hughes? Basically, what does the future look like for Sharon Hughes? Tell us about it.
Oh gosh, that's such a good question. Yeah, so as far as the first part of that question, you know, the future, as the way that I look at culture and the way that I look at people, I'm deeply concerned. Because
yes.
as we're all on our phones, and we know what that's about, we love our phones, but I think it's a love hate, because you get off your phone and you feel exhausted.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think we need to tune in to the positive messages and start being, you know, again, really honest with ourselves about what we choose to believe, but we need to be purposeful about who we choose to listen to. We need truth tellers in our lives.
That is
now,
true.
truth tellers. So, and let me just say this, not everybody deserves to hear your story. So if you're going through something, be careful of who you tell your story to and who you go to for help, because not everybody understands how to handle a hard story or to be a support to you. So you want to be careful that it's somebody you can really trust and that has
Of
earned
course.
your trust.
Of course.
So what I really hope to do is I want to do those big events again, like I used to do.
Wow.
The entrepreneurial events. I would love to do that. And, you know, I just kind of want to set the world on fire and let them know that they're loved and that they matter and that there's more for them. And they're created for a purpose. So what that's going to look like going forward, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe you can help me figure that out.
Of course. Well, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to get your message out. We're trying to spread that loving, warm, compassionate fire that you have shared with us today, Sharon, and hoping that everyone finds the same truth and overcome that those same lies that we tell ourselves every day. Sharon, I want to give this opportunity to you. Where can we find you? Where can we connect with you? And, you know, where can we get a copy of this book?
Oh, thank you so much. So you can find me www.sharonhughes.net, and you can grab a copy of The Girl in the Garage, 3 Steps to Letting Go of Your Past on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It might still be at Target. I'm not sure if it's there anymore. But yeah, you can grab a copy that way. And I would love to hear from your listeners and just they have questions or there's something they, you know, that burning thing of how does this work or that work. I love to hear what's on other people's minds and help them out.
All right. That's fantastic. Are you on Instagram or LinkedIn perhaps? Can we follow you there?
I am. Yeah. On Instagram, you can find me Sharon Hughes Official. And
Okay.
I'm on LinkedIn. I think it says Sharon Hughes dash speaker. I think that's how
All
it's
right.
on my
Okay.
LinkedIn.
All right. Fantastic. To our audience and listeners out there, of course, I invite you guys to connect with Sharon. Go check out what she's done. Go check out what she's continuing to do on the lives of individuals. And for us today, Sharon, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Joshua. You're an amazing host. And I know you're going to do great things and set the world on fire, too.
Oh, that is very lovely. Thank you so much, Sharon. And to all our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right, so here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.